Okay. Prayers for happy rebirth. All those killed by natural and man-made disasters. All the Tibetans have been killed have taken their own lives in a struggle for religious freedom. Cancer Dema Locho Rinpoche. Cancer Jampa Tepchok. Robin, buongiorno. Let's see, I think this is, she has gone to a new birth. This is late. In fact, this is old. Okay. Sally Comer, James Foley, Max Halperin, Anthony Masha, Larry Middleton, Shyamali Mitra, Miss Kitty the Cat, Job Search, Roseanne Barona, John Carroll, Lee Clark, Joey Gooch, Joe Griffiths, Jim Kay, Michelle Matic, Robert Palermo, Alex Schwartz, Greg Weaver, Sandy Wimbush. Prayers for health and well-being. Kapje Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Venerable Margaret McAndrew, Venerable Cherokee Lama, Venerable Losang Tsering, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters. For the Tibetan people and for the Chinese authorities, may the nonviolent path lead to full reconciliation and religious freedom. Roger and Barb Alexander, Russell Allen, Ahmed Alcacer, Mrs. Askew, Lisa Baranski, Jim Barnes, Luce Barona, Narcissus Barona, Sr., Roseanne Barona, Susie Tucker, John Carroll, Julie Castello, Jack Dalasso, Diana Dietzler Chuzano and her children, Dimitri Diamondopoulos, Suzanne Diamondopoulos, Joey Gooch, Mildred Gooch, Drew Granger, Tracy Haas Thompson, Annie Hassel. Oh, you don't have to put out that bin. Thank you, anyway. Annie Hassel, Kathy Hayashi, Francis Hayashi, Leslie and Joan Inman, Ken Jackson Buddy, Helen Katzenoff, Nina Kowalski, Karina Lilligan Family, Mary Lojek, Danny Love, Tom Lynch, R.M., Tom McGinnity, Sarah Miller, Jose Moreno, Rivera Nielsen, Anna Pozo, Deontha Rao, Ann Rivers, family of Shyamali Mitra, Evan Myrtle and family, William Oliver, Jay Pandya, Anna Papard and her many cousins throughout the Ukraine, Ken Roman, Eileen Rubin and family, Rosemary Cease, Sarai, Dr. Craig, Spencer N., Morgan Dixon, Lori and Freddie Todd, Lobsam Toptem, Bob Utzman, Fran Van Kirk, Josh Vernon, Dion Washington, Shay Wokowicki, Bodie the Cat, Carmen the Dog, Dorjan Cadre the Pigs, Luna the Turtle, Mikey the Dog. Oh, thank you. Okay, so I think it's start. Oh, we just have a couple minutes. Okay. Okay, so it's 7 o'clock, so would you like to join me in some prostrations? Thank you. Okay, so if you turn to the Go Prayer Book to page 34, and let's recite the Refuge and Bodhicitta Prayer, page 34. So we've got, we're using the Gold Prayer Book that is on there. And if you just go to page 34, if you feel comfortable doing so, you can say some of the prayers along with us. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Reverently, I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. I present clouds of every type of offering, actual and imagined. I declare all my negative actions accumulated since beginningless time, and rejoice in the merit of all holy and ordinary beings. Please remain until the end of cyclic existence and turn the wheel of Dharma for living beings. I dedicate my own merits and those of all others to the great enlightenment. And then if you turn to page 37, and in the middle it says, praise and request to Lama Tsongkhapa. So if you will just, recite seven of these for the seven wisdoms that we talked about, that we meditated on last time. Last week it was like vast wisdom, profound wisdom, and quick wisdom. And let's see, so that's three. Profound, vast. It's in the Guru Yoga. I do it every day. Of course, I can't remember. Vast, profound, quick. And then I know there's composition and there's debate. And so there's two more. let's see. So anyway, we'll just think about getting all these wisdoms and then having them purifying, you know, your channels and gaining all the wisdom of Manjushri and Manjushri's mantra, Om Manapadsanadi, and then also the quick one, dee 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 dee, and then the wisdom of profound wisdom, the wisdom of explanation, the business of composition, the wisdom of debate. That's it. Like to read the benefits of this practice of the Lamrim meditation. We can rejoice in the fact that we're actually doing something that our teachers, our spiritual teachers, have recommended that we do. One is doing the meditation of the Lamrim outline so that we will gain Lamrim realizations. This is the recommendation of Lama Tsongkhapa Rinpoche and Geshe-la, saying that we should review these topics and discuss them. And he just what he asked before he left. So this is, you know, we can rejoice that we're actually doing something, and the merit is just amazing. You know, doing what your guru, your spiritual teacher has asked you to do. So again, Lama Zopa Rinpoche states, "I regard as the most important thing in the world anybody who dedicates his or her life to achieving Lam Rim realizations with the goal to liberate numberless beings from the oceans of samsaric suffering and bring them to enlightenment. Keep the mind in Lam Rim, guru devotion, renunciation of samsara, and bodhicitta. These things help you to not commit negative karma again. Every day, meditate on the Lam Rim and keep it in your mind, even during break times from sitting meditation." And then Geshe-la, our resident teacher, Geshe Gyalpa, "Reciting the Lam Rim outline is superior to saying millions of mantras, to having clairvoyance, or seeing deities. Review meditations leave imprints of the Lam Rim on your mind stream, like footprints in the sand. Make many footprints in the sand. This is how you increase the chance to meet Lama Tsongkhapa's teachings in your next life. The footprints will stay a long time, whether the footprint is good or bad." And now this, if you just try to get into a correct meditation posture, and just try to, you know, be comfortable, first of all. And if you get uncomfortable sitting on the cushion, you can switch to a chair at any time. Try to relax all the tension in your body, you know, relax your forehead, relax your jaws, your neck, your shoulders. And just bring your attention to your breath. And then we can set our motivation by reviewing each word of this Lam Rim outline. May I and all sentient beings realize the whole path to enlightenment. May each word of this Lam Rim outline subdue our minds immediately. May the whole path to enlightenment be generated in the minds of all sentient beings. Week 10. The topic is training, extending self and others based on the conqueror's child, Shantideva. And now the Lam Rim outline. Training the mind in the stages of path for persons of great capacity has three parts, showing that developing the spirit of enlightenment is the only entrance to the Mahayana. How to develop the spirit of enlightenment. How to learn the bodhisattva deeds after developing the spirit of enlightenment. How to develop the spirit of enlightenment has four parts. The spirit of enlightenment depends on certain causes to arise, the stages of training in the spirit of enlightenment, the measure producing the spirit of enlightenment, how to adopt the spirit of enlightenment through its ritual. The stages of training in the spirit of enlightenment has two parts. The training based on the seven cause and effect personal instructions in the lineage descended from the great elder Atisha. The training extending self and others based on the conqueror's child Shantideva. The training exchanging self and other based on the conqueror's child Shantideva has three parts. Contemplating the benefits of exchanging self and other. Contemplating the faults of not exchanging self and other. The ability to exchange self and other if you accustom yourself to the thought of doing so, and the stages of meditating on how to exchange self and other. And this is a Tonglen practice written by His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Exchanging ourselves with others should not be taken in the literal sense of turning oneself into the other and the other into oneself. This is impossible anyway. What is meant here is a reversal of the attitudes one normally has towards oneself and others. We tend to relate to this so-called self as the precious core at the center of our being. Something that is really worth taking care of to the extent that we are willing to overlook the well-being of others. In contrast, our attitude towards others often resembles indifference. At best, we may have some concern for them, but even this may simply remain at the level of a feeling or an emotion. On the whole, we are indifferent. We have towards others' well-being and do not take it seriously. So the point of this particular practice is to reverse this attitude so that we reduce the intensity of our grasping and the attachment we have to ourselves and endeavor to consider the well-being of others as significant and important. When approaching Buddhist practices of this kind, where there is a suggestion that we should take harm and suffering upon ourselves, I think it is vital to consider them carefully and appreciate them in their proper context. What is actually being suggested here is that if, in the process of following your spiritual path and learning to think about the welfare of others, you are led to take on certain hardships or even suffering, then you should be totally prepared for this. The texts do not imply that you should hate yourself or be harsh on yourself or somehow wish misery upon yourself in a masochistic way. It is important to know that this is not the meaning. Another example we should not misinterpret is the verse in a famous Tibetan text which says, "May I have the courage, if necessary, to spend eons and eons, innumerable lifetimes, even in the deepest hell realm." The point that is being made here is that the level of your courage should be such that if this is required of you as part of the process of working for others' well-being, then you should have the willingness and commitment to accept it. A correct understanding is very important, because otherwise you may use it to reinforce any feelings of self-hatred, thinking that if the self is the embodiment of self-centeredness, we should banish oneself into oblivion. Do not forget that ultimately, the motivation behind wishing to follow a spiritual path is to attain supreme happiness. So just as one seeks happiness for oneself, one is also seeking happiness for others. Even from a practical point of view, for someone to develop genuine compassion towards others, first he or she must have a basis upon which to cultivate compassion. And that basis is the ability to connect to one's own feelings and to care for one's own welfare. If one is not capable of doing that, how can one reach out to others and feel concern for them? Caring for others requires caring for oneself. The practice of Tonglen, giving and taking, encapsulates the practices of loving kindness and compassion. The practice of giving emphasizes the practice of loving kindness, whereas the practice of taking emphasizes the practice of compassion. Shantideva suggests an interesting way of doing this practice in his Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. It is a visualization to help us appreciate the shortcomings of self-centeredness and provide us with methods to confront it. On one side, you visualize your own normal self, the self that is totally impervious to others' well-being and an embodiment of self-centeredness. This is a self that only cares about its own well-being to the extent that it is often willing to exploit others quite arrogantly to reach its own ends. Then, on the other side, you visualize a group of beings who are suffering, with no protection, no refuge. You can focus your attention on specific individuals if you wish. For example, if you wish to visualize someone you know well and care about and who is suffering, then you can take that person as a specific object of your visualization and do the entire practice of giving-taking in relation to him or her. Thirdly, you view yourself as a neutral, third-person, impartial observer who tries to assess whose interest is more important here. Isolating yourself in the position of neutral observer makes it easier for you to see the limitations of self-centeredness and realize how much fairer and more rational it is to concern yourself for the welfare of other sentient beings. As a result of this visualization, you slowly begin to feel an affinity with others and a deep empathy with their suffering. And at this point, you begin the actual meditation of giving and taking. In order to carry out the meditation on taking, it is often quite helpful to do another visualization. First, you focus your attention on suffering beings and try to develop and intensify your compassion towards them to the point where you feel that their suffering is almost unbearable. At the same time, however, you realize that there is not much you can do to help them in a practical sense. So in order to train yourself to become more effective with a compassionate motivation, you visualize taking upon yourself their suffering, the cause of their suffering, their negative thoughts and emotions, and so forth. You can do this by imagining all their suffering and negativity as a stream of dark smoke, and you visualize the smoke dissolving into you. In the context of this practice, you can also visualize sharing your own positive qualities with others. You can think of any meritorious actions that you have done, any positive potential that may lie in you, and also any spiritual knowledge or insight that you may have attained. You send them out to other sentient beings so that they too can enjoy their benefits. You can do this by imagining your qualities in the form of either a bright light or a wider stream of light, which penetrates other beings and is absorbed into them. This is how to practice the visualization of taking and giving. Of course, this kind of meditation will not have a material effect on others because it is a visualization. But what it can do is to help increase your concern for others and your empathy with their suffering, while also helping to reduce the power of your self-centeredness. These are the benefits of the practice. This is how you train your mind to cultivate the altruistic aspiration to help other sentient beings. When this arises, together with the aspiration to attain full enlightenment, then you have realized bodhicitta, that is, the altruistic intention to become fully enlightened for the sake of all sentient beings. Tonglen meditation to destroy the self-cherishing mind by Lama Zopa Rinpoche. Concentrate on the tip of your nose and feel the breath going in and out. Count every out-breath as one and count from 1 to 10. All the attention is with the feeling of the nose and the counting. Nothing more, nothing less. Just before the end of the session, release the concentration on the counting and the tip of your nose and simply be aware of how you feel. All sentient beings are around me. They are numberless, and like me, they want to be happy, and they do not want suffering. How wonderful if I alone experience the sufferings of all the numberless sentient beings. All their suffering transforms into black clouds of smoke that surrounds them. I inhale the smoke. My own suffering, illness, attachment, aversion, and causes for my own death become black smoke. Think, I'm going to die anyway. So I will use my own suffering as a cause to benefit all beings to generate bodhicitta. So many times I've made this prayer to take all suffering to be experienced by myself alone, and now that prayer has wondrously come true. The smoke goes into a black spot in the center of my heart. The black spot is my own worst enemy, my self-cherishing mind. The destructive force of all the black smoke of suffering absorbs into the self-cherishing mind. The self-cherishing thought starts to become non-existence, and then is completely destroyed. The ego becomes non-existent. I see the real I, the independent, unlabeled, existing from its own side I, to be empty. The I is merely imputed on the aggregates, on the parts. The appearing I is false, but I believed that it is true and grasped at that. I exhale bright white nectar, freedom, happiness, and light towards all beings. I offer everything, all my happiness, merit, body, and possessions, to hell beings, hungry ghosts, animals, humans, bardo beings. My body becomes a wish-granting jewel, and I offer charity to all beings. All their environments become pure realms. All sentient beings receive what they want. I give thousands of different types of delicious foods and drinks to the hungry ghosts. For the hell beings, all weapons become flowers, and the human beings receive money, doctors, medicines, and gurus. These enjoyments cause them to generate the path in their minds, and they become Amitabha Buddha. Okay, so let's break up into a couple of groups again and discuss the topic of Tonglen, giving and taking. No restrictions. Just try to stay on topic. And then I'll ring the bell in about 25 minutes. And this time I'll ring the bell once, and that's a signal that you have 5 more minutes. How's that? Instead of saying, okay, that's it. And then I'll ring it again, and then that's when we'll start the foundation for all good qualities. Okay, thank you. So the foundation of all good qualities is on page 137 in the Gold Book. That's why we didn't need the bin. 137. And so Lama Zopa Rinpoche says, reciting a Lamrim prayer every day, it's a fundamental daily practice that renders each day of your life most meaningful. When you recite a Lamrim prayer mindfully from beginning to end, the recitation becomes a direct meditation on the entire path to enlightenment and leaves imprints or seeds of the realizations of the path on your mental continuum. With each recitation, you draw closer to enlightenment and therefore closer to enlightening all sentient beings, which is the main goal of your life, the purpose of being alive. This is the unbelievable benefit of doing direct meditation on the Lamrim every day of your life. The foundation of all good qualities. The foundation of all good qualities is the kind and perfect pure guru. Correct devotion to him is the root of the path. By clearly seeing this and applying great effort, please bless me to rely upon him with great respect. Understanding that the precious freedom of this rebirth is found only once, is greatly meaningful, and is difficult to find again, please bless me to generate the mind that unceasingly, day and night, takes its essence. This life is as impermanent as a water bubble. Remember how quickly it decays and death comes. After death, just like a shadow follows the body, the results of black and white karma follow. Finding firm and definite conviction in this, please bless me always to be careful to abandon even the slightest negativities and accomplish all virtuous deeds. Seeking samsaric pleasures is the door to all suffering. They are uncertain and cannot be relied upon. Recognizing these shortcomings, please bless me to generate the strong wish for the bliss of liberation. Led by this pure thought, mindfulness, alertness, and great caution arise. The root of the teachings is keeping the Pratimoksha vows. Please bless me to accomplish this essential practice. Just as I have fallen into the sea of samsara, so have all mother migratory beings. Please bless me to see this, train in supreme bodhicitta, and bear the responsibility of freeing migratory beings. Even if I develop only bodhicitta, but I don't practice the three types of morality, I will not achieve enlightenment. With my clear recognition of this, please bless me to practice the bodhisattva vows with great energy. Once I have pacified distractions to wrong objects and correctly analyzed the meaning of reality, please bless me to generate quickly within my mind stream the unified path of calm abiding and special insight. Having become a pure vessel by training in the general path, please bless me to enter the holy gateway of the fortunate ones, the supreme Vajra vehicle. At that time, the basis of accomplishing the two attainments is keeping pure vows in Samaya. As I have become firmly convinced of this, please bless me to protect these vows and pledges like my life. Then, having realized the importance of the two stages, the essence of the Vajrayana, by practicing with great energy, never giving up the four sessions, please bless me to realize the teachings of the Holy Guru. Like that, may the Gurus who show the noble path and the spiritual friends who practice it have long lives. Please bless me to pacify completely all outer and inner hindrances. In all my lives, never separate from perfect Gurus, may I enjoy the magnificent Dharma. By completing the qualities of the stages of the path, and I quickly attained the state of Vajradhara. Okay, so now, let's see. Shanti Deva's dedication prayer is on page 246. So if you turn to page 246. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food, may the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Thank you very much. Thank you for sharing, everyone. Next week's is the six perfections.